Welcome to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 4. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, before we start, let's go through our normal business. If you would like to reach us to make any comments, you can go to our website, sistersinreview.com. We also have email, which is sistersspeak@gmail.com. And we also have voicemail, which is 972-692-7341. Now that business is over, let's get right into our recap of episode 3, titled Scratches.
Okay.
Okay, so we start out the episode with Bill, Sookie, and Jessica driving home down a long old country road from Jessica's parents' house. And, of course, Bill and Sookie are arguing. Bill, of course, is upset that Sookie took Jessica to see her parents. And Sookie's trying to defend herself, saying, you know, I understand it was wrong, but, you know, I know what it's like to lose your family, and I would give anything to see my gran again, so I decided to take her. And it just got out of hand. Bill, of course, is not hearing any of it and telling Sookie that she was acting like a child. And so Sookie gets upset, jumps out of the car, and says that she will walk instead of stay in the car with him. Of course, Bill gets back in the car and says, well, she'll cool off and come back eventually. And Jessica's like, no, if she really wants you to go after her, kiss her and make it all better. And Bill's like, nope, I'll just wait here. So, of course, Sookie's walking down this long country road in the woods, which that's crazy anyway. And she hears some noise, thinking it's Bill trying to scare her into getting back in the car. She keeps on going. Lo and behold, she hears some weird grunting or yelling noise, turns around, and it's this creature with horns looking at her, about to run her down.
It's built like a man, but it's got the head of a bull
right,
and claws.
So she starts running. Of course, this thing is running after her. Reaches her and scratches her down her back, and she falls on the ground, basically not moving, and then we have our opening credits. From there, Bill hears Sookie scream, of course, and runs in his vampire run to get to her really fast. He's asking her, what did this to you? And she says, bull, man, don't know, you know, she can't really talk. He tries to give her some of his blood to heal her. She starts foaming at the mouth, choking and spitting and carrying on. It was terrible. So Bill yells at Jessica to get the car, and they drive to Fantasia. Well, once they're at Fantasia, there's a doctor there that's looking after Sookie called Dr. Ludwig, and she determines that Sookie's been poisoned. Doesn't know by what, but she goes into a story about the Komodo dragon and how it'll poison you and then hunt for you several days later to wait for the poison to take effect before it eats you. While she is looking at Sookie's back, she's telling them that she needs to undress her, so they need to leave. Bill and Eric go into another room where they're trying to talk about what they think it was. Bill tells Eric what Sookie told him, head of a bull, body of a human. Eric has no idea what that's about. Asked Bill if he had given her his blood, and he said yes, but it didn't work. And so Eric really is kind of flummoxed then, and that's where we get our confirmation from a couple weeks ago. Where he says, over 1,000 years old, not that I'd seen everything. Apparently he hadn't seen this. He calls Pam and Chow to go search the woods where it happened. And then they get sidetracked from their discussion when Sookie starts screaming when Dr. Ledwood pours medicine on her wounds and digging into her wounds to clean it out. It's just nasty. She's screaming bloody murder, foaming at the mouth. Then another scene, Dr. Ledwood tells Bill, okay, she's fine now, the poison's out of her system, so his blood should take effect. Well, all the while that she's cleaning Sookie's back, Eric is looking at her back with his little fangs out. He's all excited because he's seeing blood and stuff. So he's looking all excited, his fangs are out. Bill goes to give her his blood, and Eric comes and says, oh, I can give her some of mine. I'm older, so it'll take better for her. Bill's like, oh, hell no. He didn't say hell no, but he said no. He kind of chuckles because he knows that would get Bill all riled up. And then Bill goes ahead and gives Sookie some blood. so that she can kind of heal. By this point, Dr. Ludwig leaves and says she expects her payment. Eric tries to joke with her, and she tells him to fuck off, basically. And then Pam and Chow, well, that's what she said. Pam and Chow, we're explicit now. We're good. Mm-hmm. Pam and Chow come back. Of course, by this point, Pam's shoes are all torn up, which is what she didn't want to have happen. They say that they did smell an animal, but they couldn't tell what it was in the woods in that area. And so Eric tells them to put out feelers in different areas around their, around Area 5 is where he's sheriff, to see if anyone's heard of anything like this. Bill says he doesn't want to move Sookie anywhere, so Eric, of course, offers him Long Shadow's old coffin and says that Sookie can stay there. And so the next thing we see Sookie, she wakes up in Fantasia with a Fantasia shirt on, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Notices that her back is scratch-free. She's all healed up. Next thing you know, Ginger's there trying to give her a nasty sandwich. She starts hearing Ginger trying to keep something from her, so she kind of hears into her mind and finds out that Lafayette is in the basement. So Sookie's like, what? She grabs the gun where she hears where it's hidden. And makes Ginger take her down to the basement where she finds Lafayette. She's yelling at Ginger to get the key. Ginger, of course, says, I don't have it. Sookie realizes she's telling the truth and tells Lafayette, I'm going to get you out of here one way or another. Once night falls and Bill finds out that Sookie's awake, he's very excited, goes to give her a hug. She ain't having none of that, saying, you know, if you knew that Lafayette was down in the basement, I can't forgive you for that being tortured. Bill's like, I had no idea. Eric comes up and says, well, hey, he was exchanging sex for V, selling it to people. That is a grave offense to us, and someone else would have did much worse to him. Bill's like, hey, he kind of right. Sookie's like, I don't care. You are awful, and if you do not let him go right now, I'm going to call the police. Of course, that pisses Eric off. He's like, I don't take threats from nobody, and she kind of forgot who she was talking to, basically.
She slapped him.
She also, yep, she did slap him, but he kind of seemed amused by that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like the threat more than the slap. So he says, well, let's come up with an arrangement because he wants her to go to Dallas anyway. So that was a kind of a good little negotiation tool for him to use to get her to come with him. Well, she kind of turns it around, says, well, I need some money because I've been missing work. I need some money to help get my driveway redone and some other things. So then Bill finagles his way into the invitation and ups the price to $10,000, and Bill's going to go, and he has to pay all their expenses. Of course, Eric's irritated, but he decides to go along with it. They bring Lafayette up, poor Lafayette up, throw him on the ground, and Eric tells him he'll see him later, which, you know, is never good. And so that's basically the end of that situation. We finally get to a point where we see Bill and Sookie taking Lafayette home to his house, where he's telling Sookie, I'll be fine. I'll get my uncle to stitch me up tomorrow. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't have health care. Please, Bill, let your friends know that I'm just going to think I was at Club Med, and I'm going to be on my way. He goes into the house in such a sad moment where he curls up on the couch kind of crying from his ordeal. They then see Bill and Sookie going back to his house. She still has the Fantasia shirt on because her clothes got all torn up. They're kind of playing around, kissing, walking the door, and then I'll get to that part later. We then go into a scene with Sam kind of looking pensive and off into space, probably thinking about the whole Marianne situation.
Mm-hmm.
Daphne comes in talking about her receipts are short, and he gets upset and tells her she's going to have to pay for him out of her money. The next scene is Tara comes in and says, you know what, if you want to train her, you really got to do better than that. He gets all snarky with Tara, tells her to just go on, and she's asking him, why are you so upset about Marianne? She just gave you a bunch of money eating here last night, or tonight. Why are you so upset by her? He says, I don't like her. I don't need her back in my bar. I don't want her back in the bar. And you need to watch out for her, basically warning her away from her. Well, the next day, Tara's nosy, trying to figure out on the other end. She sees Marianne. The next morning, her and Carl are cooking up something looking nasty, something red.
It looks like people parts.
It did, and blood. Mm-hmm. But she kept saying it needs more juniper, so must have been something fruity or veggie. We don't know. So they're cooking up a bunch of food for this party she's going to have. And Tara asks her, well, why does Sam hate you? And Marianne's like, oh, he hates me? He's probably just jealous because me and you are tight. And Tara's like, well, I don't know, because we're better off as friends. And he knows that. And Marianne says, well, hey, who knows? He's crazy, and who knows about him? He doesn't seem like he's very evolved anyway. And Tara agrees. That same day, Tara is high, of course, because Marianne lit her up a joint. And she's been drinking, and Eggs is sitting around singing with all the people there, and they're kind of intoxicated. So she totally forgets she has to go to work, decides not to even go. So Sam tries to call her from the bar, again warns her on her voicemail, look around you, stay away, be careful. Marianne is not what you think she is. You just need to be careful. So during this party, as people are having fun, Tara and Eggs kind of get close together, but she starts noticing how people are acting and is like, I don't really like this too much. Also, some drunk, topless chick gets into the hot tub with him, starts rubbing on Eggs' back.
Yeah.
So she gets really upset by this and says, you know, if this is what you're about, Eggs, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. And she stomps up the stairs. So that there goes that. Back on Sam front, he is packing up all his stuff, getting ready to go somewhere, and asks Terry to come and watch the bar for him while he's gone. Terry doesn't really want to do it, but he decides that he will, and then gets angry because he thinks Sam is a chicken and just running off with his tail between his legs. Of course, Sam kind of takes offense to this, but he's kind of right because he is just running.
Mm-hmm.
They show Sam looking at pictures of all the waitresses and friends he's had at the bar, kind of rests on Sookie for a little bit. So you kind of think maybe he's thinking about staying, but then he ends up still packing up and getting ready to leave. He gets ready to leave and shuts the bar down, sees his little fellow dog friend, and says, well, we'll take one last little run in the forest. He turns into a dog. They run it off carefree. He jumps into the lake, turns back into human. The dog decides to stay on the deck, turns and runs off, and next thing you know, there's Daphne. Well, Daphne comes up. They start chit-chatting. Of course, we kind of knew what was going to happen. She decides to jump in the water with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, whatever. She goes to turn around and take her shirt off, and she got 3 big-ass scratches on the back of her back. Just like Sookie got. So we know some mess up with her. Okay, so on to Carl and Mary. Well, we already went through the whole party and everything with Carl, but one part I did leave out is that during this whole party and everybody's drinking and eating this super drink that they made with the juniper berries, Andy shows up, you know, saying that he's had some noise complaints and he wants to tell her to knock it down. Well, as he's walking through the party, he knows there's a big old pig in the doghouse or whatever, this little bitty children's playhouse. He's like, what you doing in there, pig? Of course, the pig doesn't say anything back to him, but then Marianne comes up and is like, what pig are you talking about? He looks again, and the pig is gone. He's kind of upset, and he's saying, well, I know what I saw. Everybody thinks I don't know anything. She's like, well, of course you saw something. Why don't you just have this drink here and just kind of stay and relax? Of course, whatever she does to people when she touches them happened to Andy. He's like, okay, I'll stay for one drink. So that's how Andy got kind of pulled into the party.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's next. Oh, yes. Jason. We see Jason. We open up the show with Jason having nightmares about Eddie being in the bed with him. So while he's at the Light of Day conference, leadership conference, he's freaking out thinking that Eddie's in the bed with him. Who knows what? Feeling guilty probably for Eddie's death. And feeling bad about hate, all the hate that he's spewing because he did like Eddie, wakes up in a panic and is starting to pray to God about, I'm losing it, I need some guidance, I need help, something's not good. The next scene we see, Jason's at a group meeting where a girl is talking about her experiences with the vampire using her for blood as her his own personal snack machine, as she called it. And it's just a big roundtable discussion. Sarah Newland asked Jason to share his experiences, and he's like, well, you know, I'm kind of different. I don't have any vampire victim. I'm not a victim of a vampire. My sister dates one. She seems to like him. I knew one. My girlfriend knew one. Did he mention that, Eddie? Yeah. My girlfriend knew one, killed one in front of me, but he was a pretty nice guy. He seemed like a good person. And then he said, my sister dating one, but he treats her really nice and he seemed like a good person. And Sarah says, well, vampires are not people. They cannot be good. And he says, well, my best friend was human and he killed my grandma and my girlfriend. So I don't know what you're talking about being a person that's going to change anybody. Mm-hmm. He decides this is not the place for him and he gets up to go. Sarah, of course, runs after him to stop him and then confides in him about her sister when the vampire rights first came out, about her and her sister going and picketing for the vampires to have rights. Next thing she knows, her sister's hooked on V, she disappears, and she's convinced that her sister got caught up with some vampires and they killed her, which is what kind of started her into the path of hating vampires. So she gets Jason to realize that he sees good in people, and that's not a flaw, and that he just has to start opening his eyes and ask him to pray with her. And while they're praying, he's kind of looking at her kind of funny. Now, she's not really looking at him funny. It's kind of the other way around. The next scene with Jason is him and Steve Newland are now eating dinner. And Steve Newland is trying to talk to him about, hey, probably Sarah's going to come home and say, hey, Steve, Jason's wishy-washy. You need to invite him over for dinner. Okay, we'll talk about that. Anyway, so they're eating dinner, just him and Steve Newland, and he's telling him about kind of like good and evil and that you've got to have hate if you're going to have love. It's twofold. You have to have both. And trying to get Jason to see that he is not a bad person because he hates vampires. If he didn't hate vampires, then everything that happened to his family would be for naught. And Jason, of course, buys all that. Sarah then decides to bring in her pudding, which is supposedly world famous. So Steve is then commenting about how Sarah must really like Jason because she doesn't just bring out her pudding for anyone. And Jason starts looking at him kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we get to Jessica. She wakes up in the house all alone because Bill's still at Fantasia with Sookie. And she's kind of probably nerved because it's an old house and she's all by herself and she's new. So she decides to go into Merlot's. She's wearing the same dress, but she does her hair up and her makeup and she walks into Merlot's. And everybody kind of notices her. She sits down in a booth in front of Hoyt. Of course, Hoyt's going to notice her, asks if he could sit down with her, and they start talking. He then tells her she's got a pretty smile that he can look at all day. She gets kind of upset by that comment because she realizes that she's not going to see day. When she finally lets him know that she's a vampire, she's worried that he's going to just get up and run, but he doesn't. He's like, that is cool. I'll go get you some True Blood right now. So the next scene is, and the other cool part about that scene is that while he's looking at her smile, she's looking at his vein pulsing in his neck. Well, then Jessica brings Hoyt home, and he's like, oh, cool, inside of Vampire Bill's house. This is kind of neat. Goes, sees the Wii sitting there, starts talking about the Wii, and next thing you know, she's kissing on him. Her fangs come out because she gets excited. She gets all embarrassed, but Hoyt tells her, don't ever be embarrassed by who you are. You need to celebrate that. So, he says, I really like you, and I think we should slow down and not go too fast because I really want to get to know you, blah, blah, blah. She pushes him down and says, I've waited way too long as it is, and I'm not waiting anymore. So this is where we get to the scene where Bill and Sookie come home. They get in the house. He sees Jessica on top of Hoyt, runs over in his vampire run, throws Jessica across the room, and is growling at Hoyt. Jessica says, we weren't doing anything. I wasn't going to bite him, I swear. And Hoyt goes to get up and says, oh, it's okay. And Bill pushes him down again. And Sookie's yelling at him to stop because he's looking fierce. And I think that's basically the whole episode in a nutshell.
That's about it.
Is that about it? Mm-hmm. Did I cover everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you think about this episode?
I thought it was good. I mean, yeah, I thought that part was really good because, you know, first of all, Sookie should not have been walking out in the woods. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's night. Bill had already told her it's 20 miles to Bon Ton, so she should not have been walking by herself in the woods.
But
be that as it may, yeah. I really like the way they did this bull character because he clawed her in the back. He probably could have just grabbed her and chomped her, but he clawed her in the back because that poison was going to work and he could come back and get her later. You know what I mean? So that was really a good, I thought. And to have Sookie be incapacitated where
instantly
the blood or nothing would work, that was excellent.
Yeah, it was,
and
like
she looked like she was going through real convulsions to me. That was good.
And that's the Falcon was tearing that scene up. And, you know, it looked like, it was just like they were saying snakes do, or certain snakes that paralyze mm-hmm. their victim. You know, they get bit
right.
and it paralyzes them so they can't move. It was kind of like that with her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as soon as he tried to give her his blood, she was
foaming. And
that
everything.
Was disturbing.
But you know what? When that whole scene unfolded, I couldn't help but think, okay, now see, if that been a sister, first of all, she wouldn't have got out the car. She might have put him out the car, but she was not going to be walking no 20 miles
Thank
in the
you.
Woods. And second of all, she would not have turned around to look. You know that one scene where Sookie turned around, she looks and she sees this
yeah.
body of a man with the head of a bull and claws like an eagle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, sister girl would just kept on going.
I don't know. You got to see what you got run from.
Oh, shoot. Well, I wouldn't have been out in the woods. No way.
No,
but,
me neither.
But for me, this episode, there were parts of the episode that it was boring to me. But my favorite, I got two favorite scenes. I mean, when Lafayette went home and he sat on the couch and pulled that little Afghan around mm-hmm. him, I almost cried.
Yep, that was sad.
I almost cried. I felt so bad for him. And from the moment he was limping into the door.
Yeah, he was pitiful.
You know, I just, oh, that was so pitiful.
He just wanted to be alone.
I know.
He didn't want to be around no more vampires. He didn't even want Bill to let him help him in the house.
I know. He just was so pitiful, but I thought he played that excellent because you would be traumatized.
Yeah.
He's traumatized.
Because he hadn't been home in 2-3 weeks.
Oh,
three
longer
weeks.
Than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then my other favorite scene is when, well, then I got three. My other favorite scene is when when Eric tells Pam and Chow to go and scout around the area, and Pam says, "Let Chow do it. I got on my favorite pumps." And Bill, Eric says something to her in their little language, and she looks at him like, "Mm." So the next time we see them, the camera is looks like it's on the floor. You only see Pam and Chow from the knees down. Her stockings are all torn up. Those beautiful pumps are all muddy and the heels bent all over. It was so funny.
And that was a good scene where Eric's like, "And Pam, those were some cool pumps."
Pumps. Yeah,
and
she gave him a look
like,
"Motherfucker." I know, like she wanted to
smack him. You're gonna buy me some more pumps.
You know. And then, let's see, what was my other one that I was going to say, I forget, maybe I'll be, when Jessica and Hoyt are talking in Merlot's.
That was a good
That
scene.
Is just so
Her
sweet.
Her react, I know it was
She's
sweet.
Such a good actress,
She's
though.
She's cute.
I
yeah.
like this girl playing Jessica.
Well, I like Hoyt.
I like whoever
I
like it is.
Hoyt from the first season
I do too.
Anyway, because he is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell it in, I don't know what episode, maybe 3 or 4, when Dawn dies.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's thinking about how sexy she was or how mm-hmm. it was terrible that she died. She had nice boobs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Hoyt was thinking she had the nicest smile and she was always nice to me. Mm-hmm. And Sookie liked yeah. him for that.
Yeah.
And that just showed you that he was really
but
sweet.
I really liked that whole conversation between Jessica and Hoyt. That was just really well done, I mm-hmm. thought.
It was.
That was well done.
And the way
done.
She kind of looked, and half the time she didn't even answer him. She was just looking at him like, he's like, you're a vampire? And she just looked at him like, well, ask for some true blood. She was looking
very good.
How she wanted to debate whether she wanted to say mm-hmm. anything or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But parts of it I was a little bored with.
Which part?
I was bored with the Jason parts. This episode. I don't know why, but I was just kind of bored. I want them to do something with him, you know?
Well, I think they had to have that scene to kind of, those scenes to kind mm-hmm. of show where he's conflicted because,
that's true.
You know, it's true. The vampires have really not done anything to him,
mm-hmm.
but humans have. I mean,
right,
humans have
see.
Been the ones to disappoint, so it's kind of showing him stumbling and questioning what all they're saying. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of good that they showed how Sarah kind of turned that around for him and agreed with him, but then turned it around and said, well, that's true, but your sister is still in the dark. And those people that deal with vampires are still in the dark and they haven't seen the light yet, that they will eventually. She turned it around and basically said, because of that, those vampires is because of the vampire is why your friend hated the vampires so bad that he killed them because of the vampires, why all that happened
mm-hmm.
and turned it around. And you even had to think about it for a minute and go, what? And that's kind of how, you know, that's how Jason feels. Cause he's mm-hmm. easily led by those kind of things too.
Well, but Stephen Newland, he was doing the same thing to him at the dinner.
He was
at the dinner talking about, you know, we have to have hate.
He says, well, you know, they killed
hate.
My father and my
baby sister.
Sister and blah, blah, blah. And if I did not hate the vampire, that's like condoning what they did to my family. And I can't have, you know, it's basically that's what they were saying.
But I thought the most interesting thing he said was when he said, we need the hate because it motivates us to do something about it.
To love.
Well, to love, but to also do something about it. He says, and he looks at Jason and says, what kind of man would I be if I would not try to take revenge for, you know, killing my family? And see, that's setting Jason up.
That.
Yes, he did.
Say revenge?
Yes.
I thought he was saying, you know, what kind of man would I be if I did not hate the vampire for what they did to my family?
No, he was saying,
I didn't hear the revenge.
He was saying, what kind of man would I be? Now, he may not use the word revenge, but he was saying, if I didn't do something to the people who killed my family. And he looked directly at Jason because they know the whole background
right.
now. Well,
yeah.
They knew it, you know, when they first heard his name. So, yeah, they're setting him up to go do their dirty work, but I wish they'd gone and get to it. Okay, let's get to Sister Girl, Tara, and Eggs. Okay, now,
first of all, let me just say something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I love that blue dress she had on.
I was just going to say, they dressed that girl really good
I
in
know.
This episode.
But, I love that dress.
But.
Okay, go on.
I do not like them two together.
I don't either.
I just don't like that guy.
No.
Not for her. You know, and I don't believe the stuff he's telling her neither. I just don't believe it. But I was trying to decide. I think the reason why that she's always with him at the house, and that's because they're always high at the house.
Mm-hmm.
They're always smoking pot or
drinking
alcohol or something. So she's always high when she's at the at Marianne's house. Because when she goes to Merlot, she's not.
Well,
she's working.
Yeah, but she was. Kissing on him at Merlot's that time.
Well, but Marianne was there.
Yeah.
That's when she was making everybody go through the little mm-hmm. frenzy thing. So, you know, I want to know also if they're going to tell us or we are going to find out how come Tara is not affected by whatever Marianne does to the people, where all the other people, she was at the party too.
Yeah, her eyes weren't black. Right.
But not only that, but she doesn't seem to be affected.
Well, she didn't drink that stuff or whatever, or at least they didn't show her drinking it. But at Merlot's that time, she wasn't, they weren't drinking anything, and their eyes were black.
That's true. But Tara's eyes weren't black.
No, hers weren't. And Eggs, I didn't notice.
Yeah, she and Eggs were just dancing because the other people were dancing, but she wasn't. She wasn't caught up in the frenzy like the other people were.
So you think maybe she's immune, kind of like Sookie's immune to glamour?
I'm thinking she's got something that is, of which, when it comes back on, we'll probably find that out maybe in an episode or two because, you know, Marianne's going to be mad.
We'll get to that in in the spoiler section.
Yeah, but as far as Bill... You know, I really liked Bill in this episode because Bill looked mean and irritated throughout the whole episode. But he's a vampire. And when Sookie said in the car, well, you know, I realize now that there's a dark side to you.
No, you know, she's always known it.
No, but that's what she's saying. And I'm thinking,
well, he's never directed all that anger to her before because she's never done anything. And that really, to me, I see both sides because, look, if he was going for shopping for Jessica, he should have taken Jessica that day. He didn't need to leave her in the house knowing that she could get out and get loose. He's sitting there lecturing Sookie about how she's a loaded gun. She can't be trusted. She has to be watched constantly. But he left her.
But he left her with, I told you this last time, he left her with instructions. Stay in the house.
Well, she didn't stay in the house.
But we talked about that.
And she didn't stay home this episode either.
But he didn't tell her to stay home. He said, drive straight home.
But you know what? She didn't have to stay home the last time either.
No. You have got it wrong. He is her maker. Yes. So he gives the commands. His command was, you drive straight home. He didn't say, you got to stay there all evening. That's why she went to Merlot. We talked about this last time. Last time, when he went shopping for her, he told her.
He said, I do not require your presence. You can stay in the house. He didn't say you have to not go anywhere.
Exactly. But
how she went with Sookie to her parents.
Right. But we talked about the fact that because Sookie and Bill are linked, and Sookie gave her permission, yes, I'll take you to see your parents.
No, you talked about, that doesn't mean that's what happened.
Well, but I'm just saying, to me, that's what happened.
I know, saying I don't think so. My thing is, I think Bill is as responsible for that as Sookie, because he left Jessica in the house, knowing that she's impulsive, knowing she can't control herself, which is all the stuff that he's telling Sookie about, and is mad at Sookie about, and Sookie doesn't know. She sees a girl. She doesn't see the vampire that Bill sees. So Bill has responsibility for that, too. I understand why he's upset, but I understand why she's defending herself because she did not realize the girl was going to go crazy like that.
Anybody's going to defend themselves when they're being, you know, verbally attacked like that. That's not the issue. But the issue is Bill has never had to raise a kid. He was turned when his own daughters were very young. So even though he mentally or intellectually understands that Jessica is a teenager, and added to the fact that new vampires are just impulsive and stuff like that, that doesn't alter the fact that he's gone on.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So he has some responsibility because he left the chick in the house.
He's not going to take responsibility.
Well, no, but I'm saying that's what I think he should have done.
And I think Bill
if I would have been Sookie, I'd have been like, look, fool.
Excuse me.
I'm telling you, you shouldn't have left her ass there. We would have avoided this whole situation.
I agree with Bill. I totally agree with Bill. She should not have taken Jessica in the car to her parents' house.
I wouldn't have jumped out of the car. I would have said, just shut up, quit talking to me, and take my ass home.
Yeah. I wouldn't have got out of the car in the middle of the woods.
I don't like no woods, no how. When I see woods, I'm like, where the hell are we going?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be here. So that's just me anyway. Broad daylight, nighttime, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you think about Daphne?
Okay. I'm not sure what Daphne is.
I think.
Because she's got the same scratches, which means that I guess you can survive that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that with her scratches there, maybe she got healed, but she didn't have any vampire blood to heal her up. Or.
Well, obviously she didn't because she's got the scars.
Or she got scratched and is under the influence of whatever scratched her. Maybe whatever scratched her, which I think is Marianne somehow. Because did you notice when Sookie turned around and it was standing there with its arms up, it was just like that statue in Marianne's house without the head, of course. It was just like a statue. And every time, and when that time when Marianne was vibrating on top of Sam, she had the same pose with the arms up.
Good. Yeah, so that's a good thought.
I think that thing, the bull thing, is Marianne.
I think and you are right.
I think that the scratches, that Daphne had, maybe when Marianne scratched her, or whatever this bull thing is that scratched her, controls her now. The poison got through her, and now it controls her.
Right. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense because Marianne would want Sookie out of the way because she already knows that Sookie has asked Tara to move in with her.
Exactly. And that all happened in that episode before.
Uh-huh.
Now,
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
I don't understand what Daphne's, what Daphne has to do with Sam and why she's suddenly gotten a job there.
Because
she said she used to waitress at the Cracker Barrel, but she seems like she don't know how to waitress.
Exactly. See, I was going to point that out too.
I forgot to mention that last week, but I've been peeping that out.
Maybe she put her there to watch Sam.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she knows Sam's trying to run because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. She said that in another episode too. Run, dog, run or something like that. So she knows, so maybe this is her way of keeping Sam from running off, because whatever she wants to do with Sam there.
That's true, because she said, I don't want your money.
But she do want something from him. She wants to get revenge on him, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my
that's
little theory on Daphne. And this is without knowing for sure if that's true. But I do think that thing that scratched Sookie was Marianne somehow.
Yeah.
I can't figure out what that has to do with the pig and what Marianne does to people at her parties and stuff. I still can't figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But, so what do you think about, I think that's it. All we had was Jessica, Jason, Marianne Eggs, and Bill and Sookie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we want to go into spoilers for the scenes for the next episode?
Sure.
Okay, so if y'all are trying to stay spoiler-free, please turn off.
Which a lot of them do.
Yep, I know. Please turn off the podcast now.
Skip
over about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so as we know, with the 4th of July weekend coming up, we're not going to have an episode next week.
No.
So
but they're going to show a marathon.
They're going to show a marathon of
the first
three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'll probably watch again. Because every time it's on, I have to watch it for some reason.
Well, and you do pick up more stuff,
do, but I mean, I've watched them way too many times. Considering I tape it also, or DVR it.
Yeah, that's true.
But in the scenes for the next season, one thing that I thought was interesting was they showed Eric standing outside of Lafayette's window saying, let me in. And Lafayette saying,
no, that's not what he said.
Or saying, wait a minute, he's tapping on his window. And Lafayette saying, I'm not going to invite you in here. And Eric says, you have to leave sometime. What do you think Eric is wanting to do?
Okay. What happened was, the thing I noticed in that scene, the window is up. And my first thought was, why would Lafayette be sitting in his house with the window up? So either he had the window up to get a breeze, or Eric somehow raised up the window.
That doesn't matter. He still can't come in the house.
Right. That's true. But I just thought that was kind of, strange. But Eric says is, good evening, Lafayette. And Lafayette gets scared. And then he says, you can't come in unless I invite you. And he says, well, you have to come out sometime. So that lets us know that Lafayette has not left his house.
I know. I just got done saying exactly what you said. Who cares about the window?
Because
my question to you was, what do you think Eric wants with him?
Eric wants...
He wants to continue turning him?
I think...
Using him in some way?
I think Eric wants his own little pet.
Oh.
That's what I think. And I think the reason why he wants his own little pet is because he now understands or believes that Lafayette is important to Suki.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think he wants. I'm not quite convinced he wants to turn him, but I hope he did.
Now,
but,
that's one thing we didn't mention either in our when we were talking. When Suki finds Lafayette down in the basement, and he says, do I look like a vampire? And she says, you look terrible. And he's like, I feel terrible, so I didn't get turned. He's like, thank goodness. So... That shows he said he wanted to be a vampire, but doesn't really want to be a vampire.
Well, he said, you know, whatever he thought he needed to say so they wouldn't kill him, you know. So, but he does have them bite marks on him. So, you know, Suki gets bit halfway regular. She's not a vampire either.
No, that's not. I know. So, they can bite right. people without making a vampire.
I am not sure what I think. Eric's continued interaction with Lafayette is directly because he now understands that Lafayette is important to Suki.
Suki.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, that's it what I be. Think. And I thought it was real cute when Pam was the one that threw Lafayette into the room.
Uh-huh.
And she said something about, oh, I was hoping I could keep him. And Lafayette says, oh, no, no, no. No. Lafayette says, oh, no, because you ain't my type, bitch. And she says, ooh. And she looks at Eric and says, can I kick him? And Bill says, you can try.
I know. That was
cool. That was cool.
But Eric also mentioned to her that she has too many pets already.
Yeah. So I'm thinking.
Which is Ginger. Ginger's one
exactly.
of the pets.
So I don't think Eric has any pets, but I think because of the nature of Lafayette and now with Lafayette's total connection with Suki, then I think that's fascinated him even more. Because he was kind of intrigued with Lafayette anyway, because
right.
Lafayette was different.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the sheriff, so he has to, you know, mete out their discipline and stuff, you know.
Well, it doesn't seem to me either. I don't think that based on the conversation so far, that Eric is planning to go to Dallas.
Evidently, he's not.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing that we noticed in that preview was Tara and Suki talking about moving in, and Tara mentioning it to Marianne.
Yes. And Marianne is PO'd.
She's looking at her like, what?
Yeah. Marianne's PO'd.
So that's going
to
be.
But we know that Suki's getting ready to leave because she is. She has given Tara a picture, you know, that picture when they were little with the grand for her birthday. And she says, when I get back, we'll celebrate your birthday proper.
Right.
So, Suki's getting ready to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I can't remember what else. Oh, we saw Steve.
And where were they? Weren't they at Suki's house? Didn't it look
like
they
were in Suki's house.
Yeah, because they weren't at Marianne's house.
No, because Suki wouldn't go there.
Because they were sitting on a couch, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
We also see a scene where Steve Newland is in a car with a gun.
Asking, a golf cart.
Yeah, asking Jason to come out with him to do whatever. So
yeah, so we don't know what they get
Jason's
ready to
looking
do.
Startled.
So. Yeah, and then we also see the scene with Daphne and Sam, where Daphne is hugging Sam and she's whispering in his ear,
I know what you are.
Mm-hmm. So, you know,
So I wonder if that's Marianne talking through her or if it's
something
else.
We're going to have to see. And you know what? Until you mentioned it, though, I just didn't pay attention to the fact that Daphne came on the scene the day that Marianne was at Merlot's.
Mm-hmm.
That very same day.
Yep.
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 Yeah.
So there's something, there's some connection there.
Mm-hmm.
There's some connection. And it's going to be really cool to find out how they weave that all together.
Yeah, I want to know what Terry does and if Sam really leaves.
I don't think Sam's going to leave.
Yeah, see, I don't think Sam leaves.
I don't think so either. Because whatever happens when that girl tells him that she knows who he is, I think he's going to get scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to feel like if he leaves, he's not going to be there to help protect his friends.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I thought the whole looking at all the pictures on the wall was. So I thought he wasn't going to leave from that point. But when they still showed him leaving, I thought, well, that's different tact than I thought they would take.
Well, I thought he was looking at the pictures to look at it one last time. Because, what's the second girl that got killed?
Dawn.
Dawn. He had a picture of Dawn up there, yep, too, and everything. Mm-hmm. So I just took it like he was, you know, looking at all his old friends and stuff. And, of course, lingering on Sookie, you know. But anyway.
That was a great episode.
I think they need to come on and get to what Marianne is. At least let us know.
I think it's been great so far. We're only 3 episodes in.
That's true.
I mean, and there's only 12. That's the part that I'm not liking. Why are we only getting 12 episodes?
Don't know.
In this season. I mean, is every season just going to be 12? Because to me, that's not long enough. I need longer than that.
Well.
I really do.
That's too bad.
And then they could stretch it. Yeah, exactly. It is too bad for me. Because they're not going to change it just for me. But I'm sure I speak for everybody when I say we would like to have a lot more than 12 episodes.
Well, that may be true. But see, I don't want this to go the way of like Heroes did, where they draw the crap out so long that you get disinterested. You know what I'm saying?
No, the problem with Heroes was not that they drew it out.
So oh, yeah, they did.
And added all this crap, and you couldn't understand what was going on. And so then people get disinterested. We were already lost on Lost.
Yeah.
And they tried Lost to make
draw that out.
Yeah, they tried to put all this mythology and stuff into Heroes. Mm-hmm. So that's when I was like, okay, look, I'm already thinking a lot about Lost.
But that's why I'm saying.
So
you can go one or two episodes with this bull thing.
This is not a show where we have to think and there's a big mythology behind it. Something happens. We know what happened, or we know that we're trying to figure out who did it or who this character is. We don't have to think about this big old long mystery. You know, there is going to be a mystery this season, but I don't think it's going to be something where we have to really delve deep.
Well, we already know that there are going to be other creatures are going to be revealed.
Well, we know there's Sam. He's a shapeshifter.
Right, but there's going to be,
yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be like werewolves or something coming up too.
Probably.
You know, because the whole point of this is that there are these beings that, you know, live among people and everything. And, you know, for the most part, they go about, like Sam, they go about their lives and stuff. They don't, you know, try to kill people and stuff.
Exactly.
Like the bull thing.
Whatever the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been a great episode. I think this is,
yep,
that's it for this week.
Okay.
We will be on break next week, basically, because there is no new episode until the 12th of July.
That's true.
So we'll be taking a break.
But you can let them know we'll be doing our other podcast by then.
Yes, our other podcast, which will be the Big Brother podcast. Big Brother starts next Thursday.
Yep, woo-hoo! It'll be Big Brother 11.
And they have just announced the new castmates, so we need to do our initial,
yeah, we'll be doing an initial
podcast talking about about the house guests and getting started. Mm-hmm. So we will be having that once a week, also,
right?
So we, you know, we'll just have to figure out what days are going to be the best for us to do both.
That's true.
So you will always have us, but we will have another podcast that you can get to from our main website.
So our True Blood, our next episode of Sister Speak True Blood
will be,
about the 13th or 14th.
Of July.
Of July. Mm-hmm.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's going to be a long week without True Blood. Without a new True Blood.
I know.
We'll have to go back and watch our DVD set.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you would like to send us an email. We're at sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our voicemail line is 972-692-7341. And our website is sistersinreview.com. And you can click on the Sister Speak True Blood link and get to our podcast that way also.
Okay.
For now, I am Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you in 2 weeks.